Radio Prague News.
Ministry officials to check town hall bans, Czech students win an international Microsoft competition, and Sparta slump in their Europa League qualifier. Ministry of Interior officials will start checks in the coming weeks whether town councils are breaking the law by maintaining bans on citizens sitting in public spaces other than benches. The move, reported by Czech television, follows a constitutional court ruling that two towns, Litvinov and Varnsdorf, exceeded their powers when they implemented such bans as part of their public order armoury. Other towns, such as Most and Bilina, still have similar rules in place. A team at Prague's Czech Technical University have beaten 54 teams from around the world to win a Microsoft-sponsored competition aimed at encouraging teamwork and technology. The winning Czech entry focused on a mobile phone application which allows children with diabetes to easily check their blood insulin levels so they avoid the risk of seizures. The winning team in the Imagine Cup wins $250,000. First half net profits for one of the Czech Republic's biggest telecom companies, O2, rose by 3% to 2.6 billion crowns, the company announced on Friday. Total earnings climbed by 4% to 18.49 billion crowns. The results were described by one analyst as slightly better than expected. The overwhelming majority of the earnings, around four-fifths, come from the Czech Republic. O2 is majority owned by Czech company PPF. The Czech Republic could become the dustbin of Europe with regard to sub-quality foodstuffs brought into the country without the help of the European Union. The Czech Secretary of State for European Affairs, Aleš Chmelař, commented on Friday. Chmelař added that only the EU could take a position on whether cross-border discrimination existed or not. The issue of lower quality foodstuffs being sold in Central Europe was taken up by the V4 grouping of countries last week at a meeting in Budapest. And in football, Sparta Prague got off to a catastrophic start to their European season with a 2-0 defeat against Serbian club Crvena Zvezda Belgrade in the third pre-qualifying round of the Europa League. A largely reshaped Sparta team featuring only three Czechs and many foreign acquisitions displayed confusion in defence and up front and conceded the first goal after 12 minutes. Sparta, under Italian manager Stramaccioni, will need three goals in the home replay with no reply to go through next week. Mladá Boleslav beat Albanian team Skënderbeu 2-1 away at home in the same competition. And finally, the weather. The weather on Saturday is set to be cloudy with sunny intervals. Top temperatures will range between 24 and 29 degrees Celsius.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, former secret police officers are charged with trying to force dissidents to leave communist Czechoslovakia. Rare Pshevelsky horses get a new home in Prague. And a senior Czech customs official discusses the challenges of keeping up with international criminals. That's all coming up in today's program. The police have charged three former members of the communist-era secret police, the STB, for their role in Asanaca, an infamous campaign aimed at getting opponents of the regime to emigrate. 16 former members of the secret police have stood trial and been convicted for intimidating or using violence against dissidents. But the main organizer of the campaign, Jaromír Obzina, died before he could be tried. Daniela Lazareva reports.
During the normalization era following the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia that quashed the Prague Spring Democratic Reforms, the secret police unleashed a campaign aimed at suppressing all resistance to the hardline communist leadership. In 1977, then Interior Minister Jaromír Obzina ordered those who could not be made to toe the line to be hounded out of the country. Under the so-called Asanaca campaign, which lasted between 1977 and 1985, the secret police harassed and threatened hundreds of families, many of whom eventually agreed to leave their homeland. The STB applied both physical violence and psychological pressure, making death threats, threatening to harm close family members, police raids in the middle of the night, and beatings and cigarette burns during interrogations. The latest case concerns a doctor who was sacked for openly supporting Poland's solidarity movement and who eventually left for Germany after being threatened that his entire family would be eliminated in an accident. Historian Petr Blażek says the STB drove dissidents out with little more than the clothes on their back.
All of these people were stripped of their citizenship at their own request, and because they were forced to sign such a request, they had to pay the state money invested in their studies, for instance. They were allowed to take with them a small number of personal belongings and maybe some books, but their property was seized by the state and was usually sold below price.
Although it is not clear exactly how many people were hounded out of the country under the infamous Asanace campaign, the highest estimate is close to 300, including family members. Originally, dozens of former communist secret police officers were expected to stand trial for their part in the affair, but many of them died before their case made it to court. In the end, 16 people were convicted, historian Petr Blažek again.
The vast majority of those charged received suspended sentences of 2 to 4 years. Only a few of them actually served prison sentences, and they were the ones who exerted violence against dissidents, burnt them with cigarettes, strangled them during interrogations, and there was a case of one woman being sexually abused. But 3 years in prison was the most they got, and the main perpetrator, the man who instigated the campaign, then Interior Minister Jaromir Obzina, was never punished because he died before his case came to court.
According to the news site IHNET, the three former secret police officers who have now been charged have not been taken into custody. Under Czech law, they could face up to 10 years in prison. But experts predict that, as in the former cases, the punishment will be at the low end of the scale in view of the time that has passed and the fact that they were pawns in a system that had no respect for human rights and freedoms.
That report was by Daniela Lazareva. A new project by Prague Zoo, together with the City of Prague, will allow for the creation of a new paddock for some of the zoo's Przewalski horses. At one time, the horse was extinct in the wild, but over decades, the zoo played a major role in their breeding and the eventual return of the horses to their natural habitat. Jan Willinger has more.
Przewalski horses, once extinct in the wild, have long been a crowning achievement of Prague Zoo. It received its first Mongolian wild horses in the 1930s and began breeding them later. The city of Prague, which this year donated 6.5 million crowns for their care here, this week announced an agreement for some 20 hectares at Givci Hrady above Prokop Valley in Prague to be used as a special grazing grounds and paddock. Alena Štefelová, the head of the press office at the zoo, told Radio Prague more about the project.
The idea was Petr Štěpánek's, the mayor of Prague 4. He lives in the area of Divčí Hrady, and looking out at the valley, it occurred to him that it might be a suitable spot for a paddock where the horses could run, graze, or even be bred. The mayor went to school with the head of Prague Zoo, Miroslav Bobek, so he took the idea to him, and they went from there.
Givci Hrady shares certain characteristics with the horse's natural habitat, that is, the Mongolian steppes, making it a suitable choice, Alena Štefelová says.
The area Givci Hrady has always had a steppe-like character, so it is suitable. The city of Prague then got involved, as well as deputy mayor Petr Dolínek. We announced the project just this week. As it stands, we now have 2 years to prepare the grounds, together with infrastructure and fencing. At the start, there should be 4 mares, and eventually a stud horse will be added. The site should be ready by 2019.
According to Ms. Štefelová, the site will also include a number of lookouts for visitors to get a better view of the animals and the surrounding area, including the cityscape of Prague.
Visitors at the paddock will be able to walk around and see the horses from a number of designated sites, but also a raised lookout from which they will see not only the animals, but also get a good view of Prague.
na koně Přivalského, kteří se tam budou pást, ale také na Prahu.
That report was by Jan Wellinger. And now in the final part of our program, Jan speaks to senior customs official Vendulka Holla.
Vendulka Holla has had nothing less than a remarkable career, working 38 years for the Czech Customs Administration. Today, the deputy head of the office, she is fluent in more than 6 languages and was the recipient of the Legion of Honor, France's highest order of merit. She has overseen some big changes, including the Czech Republic's accession to the EU. And at 60, she is still handling the job in stride. In our interview, we discuss challenges faced by customs officers at present, from international smuggling of weapons and illegal cash to the role of canine units. I began first by asking her about her beginnings with the Bureau in the late 1970s.
I was working in travel agency, and it used to be a prestigious place, but I didn't like it much because atmosphere was not such good as I would appreciate. So one day I met a friend of mine, and he told me, why don't you join customs? It's quite exciting. There are new competences, and it would be interesting for you, and they have very good international cooperation. So I decided to go there, and I stayed 38 years. So this is the story.
When you joined initially, was your friend right? Was the atmosphere...
He was, in principle, he was right, but it was under communist regime, and as I was not a member of the Communist Party, I couldn't work in the international department because there were some other criteria which I didn't comply with. So finally, I decided to go to training department, and I was very happy because it was quite interesting. I could teach many subjects, customs policy and economy, and also languages, because finally they told me you can teach everything. So I did it several years before I got married, and then I went to with my husband to Algeria.
Mm-hmm. And your husband is a pediatrician. I read that he got a job at a new hospital there at the time. When you learned about this opportunity, was it an easy decision?
Yeah, because I'm adventurer. So I like to travel and to get to know new countries. And as I was limited because of my origin, I couldn't travel abroad. It was ideal opportunity to go abroad. I was even teacher of my husband because his French was poor. And before going there, he had to pass exam. If he couldn't pass exam, he couldn't be allowed. It was precondition of traveling to Algeria. So I was his teacher because son was born, I was at home, and he said it was the worst period in his life because if he didn't do his homework, he couldn't get his dinner. But he passed exam, and out of 20 people, there were only 2 who passed it. So he was one of them.
Incidentally, because I know you speak many different languages, how many did you speak at that time and how many did you pick up later?
At this time, I spoke 5 or 6.
I suppose you communicated mostly in French there, but I guess you can't help but pick up a bit of Arabic as well.
Yeah. I started to study, and this is my project for retirement. I want to study Arabic because I started to speak because I went shopping, for example, and then it was necessary to communicate in Arabic because this people, they didn't know French. So I was obliged to speak, and I started to speak, but then coming back, I was too busy, so I couldn't continue my study. So this is my project for retirement. I want to study Arabic.
And when you look back at your time in Algeria, when you close your eyes and you think about your time there?
Yeah, when I close my eyes, I can imagine beauty of the countryside. Because if you look at the beaches of Algeria, they say they are the most beautiful out of Maghreb. And they have beautiful historic monuments. I don't know what the situation now, but they have Roman towns, ruins, which are very beautiful in Timgat. And they have beautiful countryside in southern part because they have Tassili. If you go to the southern part, it's just like moon countryside. It's so fascinating. So country has everything you could wish. They have even mountains, beautiful mountains. They have desert. They have beautiful beaches. Unfortunately, security situation is
today,
not stable, and I didn't dare to go there. But it's dream of the whole family to come back one day and to see the places we used to know.
You came back basically just a couple of months before the Velvet Revolution began.
Yeah.
You picked up again at the Customs Administration.
Yeah.
And there were big changes, and you got into the international section as well.
Because my origin was not a trouble. So my new DG said, you are experienced living 5 years abroad. We need you. You speak foreign languages. Would you be so kind to go to international department?
And this must have been a period of tremendous change as well, because the country was changing, obviously, back to a democracy.
Yeah.
And then there were preparations for joining the European Union, which must have presented incredible obstacles.
It was, as French people, nightmare. Nightmare, because I was personally responsible for all the preparation for the accession. I was negotiator to the European Commission, so that means you should be 24 hours on the phone, and you had to decide. And then I had to get ready the whole customs administration, and the problem is that there is a customs union, and you have common tariff, and you have IT system which must be functional on the day D, and this it was my nightmare. I woke up in the morning at 2 o'clock, and I was thinking, if it doesn't work, they will blame customs not to be able to accede to the EU. So it was very complicated. We had new legislation, new IT system. They had to be in place, and then negotiation which went on with the European Commission. So it was complicated and not very easy situation. Mm-hmm. But we went in the customs area. Accession was very smooth, and so I was very happy, but at the same time I was completely exhausted after the accession. Yeah, because this is a great responsibility on your shoulders. And it was really quite difficult.
Customs, the thing that most people often think about, though, of course, is the problem of smuggling. All kinds of different items that are being smuggled, from drugs to live animals to animal tusks, weapons, hazardous materials. Has the field changed a lot? Because obviously today we have all kinds of face recognition software, narrow AI helping. Is it getting easier to uncover smugglers?
They have a new modus operandi, and they are very flexible. So once we know modus operandi, they change it immediately. And sometimes the technology is much better than ours. We can't
their
afford
technology.
It. Yeah. So this is a complicated issue, and I think always we stand behind. Of course, we made progress, and now, for example, cybercrime is an issue which is quite important. So we have a specialized unit which is working on it, because there are many frauds going on through internet. So this is something new. We have to learn it. So this is one issue. Then the second issue, we start to have many frauds regarding CITES convention. This is plants and animals where there is a danger of extinction. And so we are working on it, because this is quite an issue. And for example, in 2012, we had a big case, because there is a trend to smuggle horns of rhinos. And this is, we made a quite important seizure. It was the value of 100 million Czech crowns, because you have to know that the price of a rhino horse is enormously high. It may reach even 200,000 euro. And Asian people believe that this is a way how to treat cancer. And so they believe it, even though it's not true, because their analysis made, and they buy it for crazy prices, and they make powder out of it. And this powder, 1 kilo is twice more expensive than 1 kilo of cocaine or 1 kilo of gold. Mm-hmm. So this is something which should be taken into consideration. And there are new trends in smuggling, as you correctly said, not only these traditional commodities, but also this rhino horse, for example, or tusk of elephant. So these are new trends, but rhino horns, this is now on the top of smuggling. And also, not to forget, export illegally cash.
Cash as well.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And this is related to fight against terrorism, mm-hmm. because this money, which is illegally exported, or quite often is being used for the terrorists. So the terrorists use it because they need cash money.
Another facet, which is an important one of customs, is the use of canine units, of sniffer dogs. I was surprised by how much or how many different types of materials these dogs are trained to find. Drugs is an obvious one.
We have an exceptionally wide range of commodities our dogs are capable to sniff, because we are, I would say, in Europe we are the best, and all around the world we are one of the best, because we have this training center in Hermanice, which has since 2005 a status of the WCO, which is World Customs Organization, and it has a status of regional training center. And we started with drugs, as you correctly said, this is traditional commodity. Then we have this affair with alcohol, and we were criticized, we are not efficient enough. So we started to train our dogs to sniff a huge quantity of alcohol. And I can tell you that on the Asian market, because they have hidden sometimes alcohol under the floor, we could never discover, but the dog did. And then we started with cigarettes and tobacco products, because this is from the point of view, this is excisable goods, and we made important seizures using dogs. And then we started also with the latest commodity we have, of course weapons we have, and the latest commodity we started with, this is cash dogs. We have cash dogs, and this is very unique, but they are really capable to detect detect cash. They made important seizure for the first year. They made about 1 million seizure of euro and dollars. This is the latest commodity we started the train to sniff.
And when you make a big bust, what success rate do you generally work with? How much do you think that you're finding as opposed to what's getting through?
Is it difficult to make estimation? Mm-hmm. Because you would have to, let's say, if you imagine speaking about synthetic drugs, so you know production is about 12,000 kilos. And if we recently we made a quite important seizure, it was 8 kilos of methamphetamine. That means estimation is it could be very rough, but if it is 10%, it's very successful. Mm-hmm. Because you can't make seizure of all.
It must be very rewarding, or extremely rewarding on many levels, when you have a success like that. But as you said at the beginning, this is a field where you're constantly several steps behind. Yeah. Always having to catch up to organized crime.
This is, I have to admit, we can't say that we are better. Always we are behind. To be honest, I think we should be honest, because we have not so many means, and they made a lot of profits.
You're the deputy head of Czech Customs. This is not a kind of a job which you can just leave at work and go home. So on a lighter note, I wanted to ask you, at what point do you kind of shut the world out? If you do.
My husband would tell you that never ever. Mm-hmm. Because, unfortunately, technology is very highly developed, and I have all the mails on my mobile. So even during vacation, I control and I am communicating, because this is my job, and doctors say it's unhealthy, but it's the way. I try to forget it, but I have a summer cottage in Kersko, and this is the garden, and this is running, and practicing sports, skiing, it helps me to forget. This is, or go to the mountain. So this is the moment I forget my mobile, and I'm in the nature, and I like to enjoy it, because you need to have balance, otherwise you would get crazy. This is, you are always under pressure.
Top customs official Vandulka Holla, who was speaking there to Jan Wellinger. And that's all we have time for on Radio Prague right now, but if you have any comments about today's program, do please share them with us. You can get in touch with us by email at english@radio.cz, and you will, of course, find us on Facebook and on Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.